Respawn. I'm Kate Remington with Borislav Slavov. He's the composer for Divinity Original Sin 2 and many, many other games. And hey, Bobby, it's so great to have a chance to finally talk with you.
Hello, Kate. Thank you for the invitation. I've been following your articles for quite some time, and I'm very happy that I finally have a chance to talk to you. I can safely say that we share the same passion for music and video games.
Yeah, and I'm so glad you reached out to me, because honestly, Divinity Original Sin 2 was a little off my radar screen, and when you sent me your absolutely gorgeous soundtrack, I was thinking, I've got to talk to him, because it's just so spectacular. And apparently I'm not the only one who thinks so, because you were nominated for a Game Audio Network Guild Award at GDC last month, and then Divinity Original Sin 2 picked up a BAFTA Award for Best Multiplayer, so it's been a huge year for you.
Thank you so much. This is very kind of you, Kate. I don't really know what to say. It was an absolutely pleasant surprise for me as well. I mean, talking about the BAFTA award that we got a week ago. And you're right. I mean, it's something rare. It's not something that you'd usually see with independent game developers. And that's why I was so pleasantly surprised when I realized that it was happening for real.
Yeah. So the game was already in development when you started working on the music. And that was because the composer that they had planned to use, who'd written music for the other Divinity games, had passed away, which is just unexpected and very, very sad. But it sounds like you were a big fan of his music.
Well, I've been playing Larian Studios games for more than 10 years now. And I have a crystal clear memory for the very first game, Divine Divinity, which was published in 2002. And ever since, I'm a huge fan of Larian Studios and the music itself, which is an integral part of the Divinity universe. Basically, the only reason I never applied for a job at Larian Studios was because I love Kyrios' music. And the moment he passed away, I was so very, very sad that the thought to apply at Larian didn't even cross my mind. It took me like maybe half an year to realize that now that we don't have Kirio anymore, maybe I should get in touch with Larian to offer them my passion and my heart.
Wow. What in particular did you really admire about his music, and what did you do to sort of, you know, keep his voice alive or keep his music as a part of the music for Divinity Original Sin 2?
Well, Kirio's music was absolutely unique. Kirio was an absolutely unique composer. From my perspective, he was so unique and so much loved because he was completely different. He was a free spirit, free bird. I don't know how to put it in English, but his music is really colorful and very different, very quirky. When you're listening to the music from the Divinity series, you'd instantly know that this music is exactly from Divinity universe. You cannot hear something like this anywhere else.
Thank you.
It's so unique, and from composition and from sound point of view, you cannot take it for anything else. What made me really happy about the music as well is that Kirill managed to build a very, very special place for the music in the Divinity universe. It's a very special part of the game, to the point that whenever somebody was mentioning Divinity game, the very next thing we were talking about was the music, if you know what I mean. Yeah, I forgot the question. Can you help me?
you answered the question beautifully, because it's got to be a little bit of a challenge and kind of intimidating too, I would think, to step into a composer's shoes, somebody that you really, really admire, and kind of continue their vision for the next game, but also make the music sound like something you wrote too, because you have a very unique sounding voice. And so it just seems to me that the music that you've written for Divinity Original Sin 2 carries his sound forward, and yet you're able to really make it sound like you wrote it as well, which must have been a real challenge.
Oh, I'm very, very happy to hear this, Kate. You have no idea how happy I am to hear this from you. As you can imagine, I was very happy and frightened at the same time, because Kirill is a legend. We all love him, and to follow his steps was one of the biggest, if not the biggest, challenges in my career so far. And I had to take a very difficult decision how to approach the soundtrack so that, you know, I stay faithful to the Divinity universe and at the same time to move it up and forward in a way. And I believe that the music of Divinity Original Sin 2 has the same vibe, simply because it was inspired and provoked by Kirill's music in the first place. Because I was listening to Divinity music throughout the entire production cycle of Divinity Original Sin 2. And every time I felt stuck, or I felt tired, or, you know, if something was missing, a piece of the puzzle, what I usually did was, okay, now is the right time to go back to listen to some beautiful music from the previous installments in the series. And I believe that, yeah, more or less, this helped me quite a lot to stay faithful to the universe and to keep up the inspiration alive.
Thank you. I wanted to ask you about the theme that you've written, because it honestly, it got absolutely stuck in my head after just a couple times listening to it. And the way that you use it in the different cues in the soundtrack and the way it turns up in the game, it's really, really memorable. Was it the first thing that you wrote so that you could build the whole soundtrack around it?
No, this is rarely the case. Well, it might sound this way, but this rarely is the case, because you never know when the inspiration will strike you and you will come up with a really beautiful and memorable theme. So it was not, to go back to your question, it was not the very first theme I composed and produced for the soundtrack. It happened like maybe a couple months later. My idea in the first place for a main theme is a simple, beautiful and memorable cue, a silver line which you can use to go throughout entire adventure. And the moment I came up with this theme, I realized that this is actually it. It was simple. It was beautiful. It was a pure reflection of the way I felt about the game. And all the variations are basically the different reflections of your adventure.
It's just remarkable. And the way that you've scaled it up and scaled it down, Symphony of the Void is just so incredibly huge and epic. There are beautiful, like, string ensemble arrangements of it. There's even a beautiful choral arrangement of Sins and Gods. So it must have been kind of I guess, a relief when you finally found that melody and you realized that it was going to work in so many different situations.
You are absolutely right, Kate. You know, one of the things that I'm saying to my students is that if you would really like to test whether this is a solid main theme, the first thing you should try doing is to scale it up or scale it down. Because I truly believe that if you have a really good piece of music, a really good piece of tune, you should be able to easily scale it up, scale it down, make it sad, make it, intense or melancholic or even happy.
Yeah. What I really wanted to talk with you about, because I don't know any other composer, at least no one that I've talked to, who has done this for their game soundtrack. When you're in the character development section, you can choose an instrument to be your main instrument as you're adventuring and in combat and doing quests. How did you come up with that idea? It's just fascinating and just so cool.
Well, it's going to be quite interesting for you. I'm going to give you a secret. It's not going to be a secret anymore. But, you know, the very simple reason I came up with this idea is that I really wanted to impress my boss, Sven Vinke.
And I'll bet that did it.
Yeah, believe me. You know, it was a totally logical step of music evolution from my perspective, because everything else is customizable when we are talking about a role-playing game, right? I mean, you can customize your character statistics, you can customize your appearance. And I thought to myself, why not having the chance to customize your music in a way? Wouldn't that be awesome? And that was the moment I said, okay. And I believe that having such an amazing leader who is always open for innovative and brave ideas would provide me with the best chance in my career. So here I am.
Well, the four instruments that you've chosen, the bansuri and the tambura and the oud and the cello, each one of them has such a distinctive sound. And what kind of creative challenges did that cause for you, writing the music that would sound good with each one of those different sounding instruments being the main one?
This was one of the goals, actually. I wanted to come up with four absolutely different instruments, with four different instruments with different character. Because, you know, when I compose, when I produce music, I always try to imagine myself, to put myself in the shoes of the gamers. And I was wondering, what would be the best selection of instruments? And then I realized that the more different they are, the better. And I tried to cover different regions of the world. That was one of the second goals I wanted to achieve with this four instrument selection. I said, okay, I'd like something from the east, I'd like something from the west, I'd like something that everybody is familiar with, because some people feel very happy with giving a try with something new and fresh. For instance, bansuri is not something that you'd hear on a regular basis, right? And some people would like to select stringed instruments coming directly from their passion for stringed instruments, guitars, violins, or whatever. And last but not least, I also wanted to give a chance to everybody else who'd prefer a classical instrument. And for me, the cello was the obvious choice because it's very versatile. And last but not least, it's very suitable for designing battle music systems, if you know what I mean. Because cello could be very melancholic and romantic at one moment, and on the very next, it could be very aggressive, intense, and perfectly suitable for action compositions. Right where I am.
Yeah, and none of them are either have such a high range or such a low range that they don't sound out of place either. They all kind of lay sort of in the middle. So it's subtle, but it just makes such a huge difference. And I just think it's really incredible that every player has this really unique experience with the music too.
Very happy to hear it, Kate. You make me feel very, very happy that you think this way.
Well, you're going to set a whole new standard, I think, for interactive music once this gets out.
Yeah.
What were some of the challenges then of implementing this music? Did you have to build some kind of a custom engine to handle all of these different possibilities?
Well, no. The adaptive music system of the game, the full dynamic music system, was based on WISE. WISE is a very, very powerful tool when it comes to building and implementing adaptive and interactive music systems. I love it. I simply love it. I don't want to sound like, you know, a salesman from Audiokinetic, but I truly love the tool. And the music system of Divinity Original Sin 2 was entirely designed and built with WISE. Of course, part of the system was integrated with the in-house game engine of Larian Studios, but like maybe 80% of the system itself was built with WISE.
That's amazing. I just got my first taste of WISE from a friend of mine, and it really is an incredible program. And
it's an amazing. Basically, you know, anything you want, you have it. Your imagination is the only limit there. I should stop right here. But yeah, I love it. It gives me everything I need. Even at the moment I'm designing a brand new system on the top of the existing one, I'm adding more components. And these new components are wild, I'm telling you. I would really like to give you a hint, but sadly I can't reveal any details at the moment. But they are really, really brave and innovative. And the thing is that whatever I think about, whatever idea comes to my mind, you know, I have all the tools I have at my disposal with WISE.
Wow, it's phenomenal. And I know so many composers and studios use it for those very same reasons. So maybe I should just say today's episode is being brought to you by WISE.
Yeah.
And honestly, guys, I don't work for Audio Kinetic.
But yeah. The other really cool thing that you did is to write music that can easily switch from major to minor to give the player cues about their environment. And if they're in a safe place, the music is in a major key. But then as they move into a more dangerous zone, it changes to minor. And that's another aspect that I haven't really heard a lot of composers do. Did that come out of all of those hours that you were playing the game as you were working on the music?
No, this is a really cool story I can gladly share with you. So I've been giving lectures on adaptive music for maybe more than 10 years now. And one of the things that I did several years ago, maybe 5 or 6, I don't remember precisely, was I designed and created a prototype of this system going from major to minor. And I use this system on my lectures to educate my students. The moment I joined Larian, I realized that the time has come to put this system into a good use. I had always dreamt of a chance to score an epic role-playing game, and Divinity was absolutely the best opportunity in my whole career. It was the right time, the right moment, the right team to use the system and to use it for and to implement it for the very first time in a real game.
It really adds a lot to the experience, and it's subtle, and yet it really makes a difference as you're playing because you realize that you're getting into a spot where you might not survive and it's going to get a little hard to get out of. So mentally, it kind of prepares you for what's
the beauty of it is that it actually feels like the music is being composed and arranged right on the spot to reflect your own experience, to reflect your decisions, your actions. And that's why I love it so much personally. But that's merely the beginning. I can hardly restrain myself from giving you hints, but this is just the beginning.
Oh, that's going to be really... Well, see, now we have another excuse to talk again, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
One of the things I was going to ask you, because it is such an epically huge game, how much music did you end up writing? Can you even guess? Or is it in so many stems and loops that it's almost impossible to kind of measure?
Well, as far as I remember, there are about 120 pieces.
Wow.
Plus minus. Yeah. I know the number because recently I had to go throughout all the music because we wanted to use all the music also for the game master mode of the game.
Wow. That's incredible.
I was surprised myself.
It's probably best, you know, when you started working on it, that you didn't know that you were going to end up writing quite that much music, because that would be kind of a daunting prospect, I think, to write that.
Yeah, I don't think about it. I don't think about it. You know, the moment I start working on a game, I don't think about any limitations, any numbers, because ultimately what I truly believe that at the end of the day, what truly matters is the quality of the music. And that's why I don't think about numbers. I just follow the game, get inspired by the game, keep in touch with the team, and I produce as much music as it's needed.
Yeah, and you've also not only used the theme in so many different really special moods and situations, but you've got some pieces that just capture very special areas of the game, like Mead, Gold, and Blood. Sounds like it's tavern music, maybe inspired from the Middle Ages. And I can just imagine, you know, being, you know, spending some time in a village inn, just finally relaxing for a little bit. So
yeah, so in the game we have 6 origin characters, and by selecting an origin character, you also receive his or her main theme. All the main themes are completely different and completely unique from one another, and the idea is to reflect their background stories, their personalities and background stories. So, for instance, Mead, Gold, and Blood is Ethan's theme. This is one of the origin characters, which you can select at the very beginning of the game. And throughout your campaign, you are able to listen to different variations and incarnations of the main theme specifically composed for this origin character.
Thank you.
every origin theme has many completely different variations. Basically, this is like having seven main themes in a single game.
Wow.
To put it in a different way. Yeah, that was one of the other brave ideas I came up. And the moment I shared with our boss was already regretted because I realized how much work I need to do. But it was so awesome that I thought to myself, it's going to be epic. Let's do this.
Yeah, yeah. And it totally is. And it makes the world feel so alive, too, which is just very, very cool. And the Queen's High Seas, almost like a sea shanty, which yeah. is a lot of fun.
This is the main theme of another origin character, the Beast. It also has many different versions, including tavern version, epic version, melancholic. Yeah, depending on the situation.
Yeah, wow. That's just incredible. How much of the music was recorded live with either an orchestra or, you know, individual musicians?
Well, I haven't had the chance to make an estimate, but if I'm to make a wild guess, I would say maybe about 80%. It's a combination of several different approaches. So we did live orchestra recordings, we did ethnic instruments recordings, and there is some programming mainly on the percussion side.
Yeah, well, it all blends together so well. And, you know, there's just something really special about using live musicians because of the way they breathe as they're playing and just obviously the life that they bring to their performances rather than using mostly samples. So it's a really wonderful sound, and it does sound very alive.
Couldn't agree more, Kate. When it comes to live performance, I believe that no matter how good the samples are, no matter how brilliant the libraries are, I believe that nothing compares to the live performance due to a very, very simple reason. You know, the live musicians, they add additional emotion, additional passion. You know, they give you a part of their heart. And that's why it's so special. And it doesn't really matter how professional and good the libraries are. I'm not saying that they can be fully replaced, But if you would like to provoke specific emotions, there is no better way than to invite them to record live instrument.
Yeah, and speaking of live instruments, last March, your music for Divinity was performed as part of what must have been just a spectacular concert. There was also music by Neil Akri, who was one of the conductors, and Jessica Curry and Penka Kuneva. So what was it like for you to have your music performed like that in front of a huge audience?
For me, it was absolutely exciting because for the very first time, my music was performed in my home city. Yes. So from this perspective, the experience was completely unique for me. For the very first time, I could say to my friends, hey, you know, guys, why don't you join me? There's going to be a live tonight and my music will be performed. So, and I was absolutely blown away by Amy, by Neil and Penka. I mean, these are great people and huge professionals. I know Penka for quite some time, but for the very first time I had the chance to meet Neil in person and Amy, and it was an experience for a lifetime. I really can't wait to get another chance to share a stage or a glass of beer with these guys.
Well, whatever comes first, yeah. I guess.
Hopefully it'll be a stage and it'll be a concert, yeah, that those of us here in the US will be able to enjoy too. And we're really hoping, all of us here who love game music in the U.S., that this is just sort of the start of a trend of a lot more live performances of game music because it has such a passionate following. And so it would be great if they could reproduce the concert over here and hopefully you'd be able to come along.
Yeah, one of the things that made me very pleasantly surprised was that the very next hall, the very next big hall, was hosting another huge concert at the very same time. And the fact that our concert hall was absolutely full was amazing. The people preferred to join us. And even though I was a little bit worried whether we'd be able to attract enough audience.
Well, maybe it's because people think, well, I can hear Brahms any old time.
Yeah, coming from you sounds so easy, Kate. Yeah. I need to hire you as a PR. Are you available?
Oh, sure, anytime. Well, the other exciting news that I haven't mentioned yet, but I'd love to talk with you about, is the release on vinyl of the soundtrack. That's coming up pretty soon too, right?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it's going to be released in a few days.
Wow.
And I'm going to give you another secret. The moment I had to test the vinyl, I realized that my old gramophone doesn't work.
Oh, no. So,
but as you can imagine, I couldn't say this to the to our publisher. You know what? it's really kind of you that you send me these LPs to give it a shot. But I simply don't know how to do it. Yeah, and it was Friday and I was supposed to give a feedback by Monday. I did quite a good research to find a shop and to buy a brand new gramophone.
Wow. So, well, at least vinyl has made such a comeback now that you can find turntables. I'm glad you did find one.
Yeah. But it was a really fun experience.
Yeah, I'll bet. Because of the way with vinyl, you only have a certain amount of time on each one of the sides. So did that make it difficult to decide, you know, which cues and which tracks you were going to put on which sides of the actual records?
Well, yes and no, because at the end of the day, we decided that we're going to make a double LP release. So, but you are right that we had to leave some tracks behind. Hopefully, we did the best choice. And if somebody is missing a favorite piece, we still have all the digital releases. And one of the really good things was the decision to put a coupon for the digital release inside the LP itself.
Oh, that's great, because then you don't have to wear out your LP. You can save it for special occasions. And
Yeah. For instance, something like that. But in any case, the full soundtrack is at your disposal if you want to have it. But you're right that it's simply not possible to put like 50 tracks on an LP.
Yeah.
Or two.
But still, the cover art's amazing. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Perfectly suitable for framing and putting on the wall.
For sure. Wow, Bobby, it has been so much fun talking with you about this. And I've really been enjoying listening to your soundtrack. And now clearly we'll have another reason to talk soon. So thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you so much, Kate. It was really a pleasure.